We have our freedoms because of people willing to stand in the gap for us as a nation, for our freedoms, and I want to personally thank you, and I know as a church we want to honor you and your sacrifices and those that have lost loved ones for our freedom. So I want to pray for you and for the troops overseas and for our time together as we get to honor Jesus Christ. So let's bow our hearts together. Lord, my heart is just overwhelmed to think of literally thousands of our friends and family members that are overseas all around the world and on bases here that are preparing to go and put their life on the line. We know that there's been many, many people that have given their life freely for freedom and things that we take for granted. And I pray that it would be sobering for us this weekend to really reflect on all that we are able to be and do in this great nation of ours. And I pray that you would honor those that are here today for their sacrifices as well. And so we pray for your blessing now upon your word that Jesus Christ, you paid the ultimate sacrifice for us. And we want to give honor and glory for you this day. And it's in your precious name we pray. Amen. Well, if you join me, turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22. Now, Miles will be back next weekend, and he's going to continue in the series of the Royal. And I want to encourage you to continue doing your devotionals, the devotions that you are enjoying together as we go through and practice some of these rules and the different genre of Scripture that we're going through. But here in the New Testament, in Luke 22, and as I trust that you receive the package of the bread and the juice on the way in, and maybe for you, this is kind of a foreign experience. In fact, you might even be here for the very first time and taking all of this in from the point of, you know, rock hero, what does that mean? And, you know, what am I holding here, this package of this juice and the bread? And let me kind of just put a kind of a washing through it all that, you know, Jesus Christ, in fact, this church, the Rock Church, is focused on honoring Jesus Christ. And one of the greatest things he would have us to grasp, that it's not about ritual or religion. It's not out of duty that whatever God calls us to be and do, that we break away from some of the traditions that sometimes capture our heart. And as we look at this very sacred time, this was at the end of Jesus' earthly life, his ministry here on earth. He sat with his friends and family, those closest to him, and he wanted them to get a picture, a metaphor, the symbols of what he was expressing from thousands of years earlier, the Passover that the Jews were remembering, God taking them out of bondage. And now in an upper room, he's meeting with his disciples. He knows what's happening in just the next couple of days and the suffering he was going through in his heart overwhelmed for his disciples, his heart overwhelmed with the mission that God, his Father, had caused him or led him. And as they, in councils passed, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit meeting, that Jesus would come and do this for you and for me. And we pick up here in Luke 22, verse 14. Says, when the hour had come, Jesus, he sat down, or literally he reclined with the 12 disciples, or the apostles with him. And then he said to them, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Now, here he is. He's sitting in this upper room. Now, they thought it was just this regular traditional feast. They've had several of them. And now he's in this upper room and all has been prepared. And it's a lot of tradition. And yet Jesus is going to blow their mind at this point. But I want to point out here, it says with fervent desire. And literally that word in its original has the concept of craving. This passion that Jesus Christ was wanting to partake of this time of communion or fellowship, a koinonia, a time of remembrance, and casting out for them a new vision for what this is all about. And I want to encourage you this morning because the same Holy Spirit is right here in this room today. God, the Holy Spirit, wants a relationship with us. And I would say with fervent desire, with passion. He wants all of us to break away from what's holding us back. As I serve with the fire department, and I have opportunities at times to go on ride-alongs as a chaplain. And one of my early ride-alongs, there was a medical aid call, and it was a heart attack. And there was a gentleman about 47 years old. As we arrive in this house, it was in southeast San Diego, and he's clutching his chest. Didn't have a shirt on, a bit overweight, had jeans on, barefoot. It was early in the morning. His girlfriend was there, ashtray, had cigarette smoke flying up from it, and just taking it in. Bottles of alcohol all over the place. They'd obviously had a party the night before. And as the lead paramedic starts to ask questions, you know, and they're assessing him, there's a series of questions. One of the questions, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much pain are you feeling right now? With 10 being unbearable. And he said at this moment, I feel like it's an 8. I feel like just a heavy rock on my chest and pain shooting down my arm. And then they said, are you on any medications? He said, yeah, I take medications for some heart problems I have. They said, really? When did you last take your medication? And he said, well, it was a couple weeks ago. My prescription ran out. I haven't fulfilled it. They said, do you have any family history of heart disease? He said, yes, my dad died of a heart attack. And they said, how old was he? He said, about 48. They said, how old are you? He said, well, about the same age. I'm 48. And at this point, they said, do you exercise? He just said, no, can we hurry this up? And it was, as I was sitting there, there was like a checklist, how to die. Check, 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 you're failing the test. But the thing that got me was his eyes, big as a saucer, looking at me with desperate look as they were going to transport him to the hospital. And when he realized or it was announced that I was the chaplain, I'm praying for you, he said to the paramedic, don't let me die. Now you think of this, how so many of us live our life contrary to the just how to live, how God has designed us. And then we get at a point where our family, our marriage, our friendships, our work starts to fall apart, and it's like, God, why would you allow this to happen? And God has made a way all along. Would you just listen to his plan, his purpose, with passion, fervent desire. God wants to love us in a relationship that we would align our life according to his purposes and his standard. That we would align our life with his will. That we can live within this relationship where God desires to bless us in this relationship. Not that everything's going to always work out and hardships don't come. He says, they that will live godly in this world shall have trouble, tribulation. But God has given us this life that we would have this communion relationship with Jesus Christ. And he longs for that for each and every one of us. And I want to challenge us as a church, as families, as individuals, that we just don't get duped by all the temptations of the world and the allurements that get us off track of what God has for us. With fervent desire, he longs for this relationship, that we would remember what life's about, that we would remember what really matters. Now, as he leads them in this Passover service, listen to what it says here in verse 17. Then he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. Now there were several cups that they would pass during the Passover feast. The first cup is called the cup of thanksgiving. So appropriately, he gives thanks for this cup. He says, for I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. Behold, the hand of my betrayer is with me on the table, and truly the Son of Man goes as it has been determined, but woe to that man by whom he is betrayed." They began to question one another, "Is it I? Is it I?" They had this doubt. Now, there were several cups. There was the cup of redemption, the cup of wrath, the cup of blessing. But at the end of the feast, there was this cup, which was Elijah's cup, that they would hold it up. No one would drink of that cup because it was to wait until the prophet would come. Elijah would come before the coming of the Messiah. Now, either Jesus is holding up that cup or the cup of blessing at the end of the Passover feast, which was very unusual. The disciples would have been caught off guard. Well, number one, he held up the bread, the matzah, that was often broken in three pieces, which we can see the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. He breaks it and said, "This is my body." Their tradition was broken. What's he talking about? The disciples not fully understanding what's going on. Maybe you're here today and you have a background where you maybe were taught about communion and it's something religious that you grew up with. And yet God wants us to get past all the tradition to understand this relationship that he's longing for us to discover. And he held up that final cup and said, "This is the cup in the new covenant in my blood." That was totally, what is he talking about? There was probably a stirring that they're really being attentive to something unusual that's going on. Is he declaring clearly that he is the Messiah? They still had some doubt about that. And yet, shattering all of that, he's grabbing hold of their hearts that they would know the sacrifice, because it was later that Luke writes this, reflecting back. Now he gets it. He was signifying the manner of death, that he would die, his body and his blood. I was doing a wedding where they were celebrating communion. I'm doing a wedding this afternoon. They're having communion. But this one wedding, I had told the couple, make sure to have the bread and the juice there. And so we got to the service, and I asked the best man, I said, "Do you have the bread and the juice for the communion?" He says, "No, I forgot it. And I said, "Well, go to the reception. I'm sure they have something there we can use." And so he came back a little while later. The service was just starting, the wedding ceremony, and I said to the best man, "Did you get the communion elements?" He goes, "Yes, it's on the table." I said, "Great." So we go through the wedding ceremony, and the husband and wife, the couple are there, and we get to the point of the marriage ceremony where they're going to partake of the Lord's Supper. It's their first act as a married couple, and they're wanting to honor Jesus Christ in their marriage. So we go over to the little table, and it's a little private time as music's playing, and we bow down and I look at the table, and the best man, he got some juice. It wasn't grape juice, but it was close, and that was good. The Kool-Aid would do okay. But I looked down at the bread, and it was chocolate-covered biscotti. I'm like, I look over at the best man, he just got the best I could do, you know. But I thought, how great. You know, we can get hung up on, well, it's not unleavened bread. Well, it is unleavened bread covered with chocolate. And I think of sometimes where I thought, what a joyful celebration. And here they were being encouraged about their consecration and also the examination that comes, but also a sense of celebration. You see in Matthew chapter 26, verse 30, at the end of this time, they started to sing. And so we're going to have a time just with you and God to celebrate what Jesus has done, to bring to remembrance the sacrifice that Jesus has done for us. Now, some of you may be living in a place where you're just not where you need to be with God. I'm going to read a portion out of 1 Corinthians in chapter 11. He says, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he come. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Let a man examine himself, let a woman examine herself, and so let them eat the bread and drink the cup." Now, this is a time of examination. In fact, Paul warns right here, if you're not a believer, if you're not a Christian, don't partake. Don't partake. You actually bring judgment on yourself because you mock. You mock this, which symbolizes the greatest sacrifice of God's love for you, for me. He tells us to examine ourselves. I had a woman come to me once, and at the communion service, she said, you know, I didn't take communion. I said, are you a Christian? She said, yes, but I don't feel worthy. And I said, no, that's why we do partake of communion, because we aren't worthy. And it's recognizing this opportunity to repent of our sins, to connect with God. And I want to encourage you, as yet you're not connected to Jesus Christ, you know God's calling you, though. You know God's been knocking on the door of your heart. I want you to pause, reflect, and just say this between you and Him. Just say, Jesus, I repent of my sins. I need you in my life. I ask you to cleanse me of all my sin and come and take charge of my life. It's that simple. The Bible says if you'll confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. So I'm going to ask reverently, and don't rush out, don't just take off to go on to the next thing. You and Jesus, or maybe you as a husband and wife, a couple, or you and your roommate that are here, it's going to be a time of worship. We're going to worship before the Lord, and you have those elements, the bread and the juice. Sometime during the worship, a couple songs, just the two of you pray quietly, reverently, and remember what Jesus Christ did. And then Pastor Mingo will come up and close the service. So let's stand together. And let's worship our great God. Amen.
Spread out the skies over empty space. You said, let there be light to a dark and formless world. Your Son was born. You spread out your arms over empty hearts. You said, let there be light to a dark and formless world. Your Son was born. Yeah. You made the world and saw that it was good. You sent your only Son for you all good. Lord, you're so good. What a wonderful Maker. What a wonderful Savior. How majestic your whisper. Oh, your love. With the strength like no other. Heart of a Father, how majestic your whisper. Oh, what a wonderful God.
Your eyes fully see.
Your eyes fully see how beautiful the cross. We have only heard the faintest whispers of how great you are. Your eyes fully seen how beautiful the cross. We have only heard the faintest whispers of how great you are. You made the world and saw that it was good. your only son, for you are good. Lord, you're so good. What a wonderful maker.
What a wonderful maker.
And what a wonderful Savior. How majestic your wisdom. Oh Lord, how humble.
If you haven't already taken communion, I encourage you guys, you can take it with me now. The trick is to do the wafer first so you don't choke, just so you know. My name is Mingo, and I'm one of the 1825 pastors, and I just want to give you guys a couple of encouraging thoughts before we close down the service. What Mickey said kind of hit me in the heart, like the guy that he was talking about, because even, I don't know, even as a leader at The Rock or somebody who is responsible for helping take people from brokenness to, you know, whatever that next step is, I feel a lot of times inadequate. I don't know if you feel that way, where you feel like, gosh, God is so amazing, he's so big, and yet here I am with an opportunity to reckon what he's done for us, and I just don't feel like I have what it takes to even come to that pedestal. And I want to share with you a little bit of like a hope, if I will, in that. Mickey shared like this part of the story, right where they're in the upper room, but there's a pre- and a post part of the story where Jesus, leading up to the dinner in the upper room, he tells John and he tells Peter, I want you guys to go into the city and I want you to book this room, essentially. What he's going to do, you can sit down. This isn't like a wedding or anything. Yeah, the bride has already come. It's all good. Sit. I'm like, why are these people standing up? Okay, so Jesus tells two guys in his entourage, I want you to go and I want you to book this room. And when you book the room, this is how you're going to know the guy. You're going to come into a town. There's going to be a guy with a jar. Follow that guy to his house. Stalk that guy. Okay, so that's what they do. They're just wandering in. They find a guy with a jar. They go, look, there's a guy with a jar. Let's go. And then they like follow him into his house. He's got the upper room. In the upper room, they check all the things that they're going to need for the dinner that night to prepare, right? We need food, we need the salsa, chips, the whole nine, right? They need it all. It's all there. It's furnished, and that's why when Mickey says that they were relaxing, they were reclining at the table, it's all furnished. And one of the things that the disciples do, they forget to book like a very basic and essential piece, which is the guy who is kind of like the doorman. He's like the... He's the, like, what's that position called it when you go to a restaurant? He's like the dish, not the dish guy. He's the maitre d'. Where do you guys go to restaurants? Okay, he's the guy who sets the silverware. That guy, maitre d' doesn't do that. He's like the busboy. Okay, so the busboy, they forget maitre d'. I don't know where, I go to Rubio's and they don't have that guy. But the busboy is the guy who kind of prepares the place, and for the disciples, what they would have done is they would have booked this guy, and his job would have been to wash their grimy feet before they come in, because you don't come in with dirty feet. Back in the day, they don't have sidewalks or grass. It's all dirt, and it's muddy, and they walk through it all barefooted. So the guy's job is to wash their feet, and the disciples, like, shorthanded or super inadequate, if you will view it that way, they forget to book this. And so when Jesus arrives and it's time for their Last Supper, everybody's got dirty mugs on their feet, and they go, what are we going to do about this? And I love this picture of Jesus because he goes the extent of death on the cross for us, but he'll go the absolute shortest and most humbling distance, which is, hey, somebody forgot to book the guy to wash our feet. Don't worry, I got it. And he takes his shirt, and the Bible says that he girds himself, so that would have been taking off the outer garment. He wraps a towel around his feet, and then he just starts to wash the feet of his disciples. And that, to me, whenever I read it, I always thought that was some, like, like super God moment, and he was like preparing some ultra sermon. And really, it's a very basic, super common, super normal act. It's a basic act that has no honor in it. Ultimately, it was usually the position of a servant or a slave of the housekeeper. And here's Jesus, the Lord, the Savior, the guy who was going to die for everybody, the guy who was the leader of the pack, the guy who had inspired vision to change the world, the guy who was going to revolutionize that which we knew of God. And when the shortest kind of malfunction happens, Jesus steps in the gap for us. And what's funny is that it's two of the best disciples, if you will, the ones who everybody talks about, Peter and John. And even in their shortcomings, as minor as they are, Jesus steps into that place. And I'd like to think that he does that for us, where we have major dreams and major visions to do something, and Jesus is right there, and he says, I want to help you do that. But even in the shortcomings on a day-to-day basis where you don't follow through with what you want to do, or even what I've asked you to do, for the disciples, he asks them, I want you to book this room. Can you do that? Can you guys handle that? The guy's got a jar. Follow him to his house. They go, I love it, Jesus. I'm there. Dang it, we forgot to book the maitre d' busboy. And Jesus goes, I got that. Don't worry. I love you. I've got that. I'll take care of that. And in some miraculous, I can't even imagine it, Peter is actually the one who's like, you can't wash my feet, Jesus. And then Jesus goes, I have to wash your feet. Like, this is my example to you of how in loving you, I'm going to serve you. And then he goes, like, wash my whole body then. You know, like, give me a whole shower. And Jesus goes, okay, you're getting like carried away, Peter. Calm down. You smell good. Your feet are dirty. That's what I'm saying. And he serves them. And he serves them. And then you get into the part that Mickey was talking about where they're actually having the Last Supper, and he does the cup and the juice and the bread. And then in leaving, I'll take it to the book of John because that's where Mickey started. But in John 13:34. It's after he's had his upper room experience, he says, that a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you, that you might also would love one another. And by this, all people will know that you're my disciples, that if you have love for one another. And so this is what I'm going to say to you as we leave this service. There are incredible ways within our church to serve one another. And I pray that if you've ever come here with a need, or if you've ever come here hurting, or if you ever come here broken, that there has been some way within this church body that you've been able to get help. And whether it's prayer here with our pastoral support team, or somewhere within the ministry, or even jumping into something like Impact, where you really sense that there was something that you needed to do or something that you needed to get, the church as a body of individuals, our job is to serve one another. And Jesus proclaims that this is the new commandment I give you, to serve one another, to love one another. And so I just want to implore you, as we have the opportunity as a church, if you haven't noticed, like, we just yell do something at the top of our lungs every Sunday, because it's really our belief as pastors and our belief as a church that the best way that we can recognize Christ outside of these walls is to serve the city that we belong to. Amen? That's why we have Rock Heroes. That's why we're going to Haiti. That's why we have every ministry lined up in the lobby, just for you to have an opportunity to jump in somewhere. And so I want to implore you guys that if you want to love the way God loved, if you want to serve the way Jesus is calling us to serve, in fact, if you want to recognize the absolute sacrifice that Jesus gave us in sacrificing for us, I want to challenge you to get out and serve. To love your neighbor, right? And that could be giving the guy at Albertsons down the street a couple quarters when he asks for him, instead of just walking by like he doesn't exist. It could be stepping in and helping out at one of the ministries, junior high, rock, joy story. I mean, with children's, you can jump into anything within the young adult world. I just want to encourage you guys there's a lot that we take in when it comes to recognizing what Jesus has done for us. And I don't want us to leave this place without taking in the full opportunity to turn that service out to others. Because I think that's where we really experience God's full and total love. Amen? Amen. I really love you guys. I love church. I love having a body of people that we can call our family and where we can dive into the city together. But just as we're closing, I just want to pray for us. And I want to tell you, if you have any prayer or any need, we have our pastoral support team that's going to be up here. And if you are a part of, if you came here this morning, this is your first time, and you have no idea, and you're just going, wow, I don't know what it is that they have been talking about for the last hour, but I sense a need to belong to this. I want to give you that opportunity. And Mickey said it, as basic as it is just to say, God, I don't have what it takes, and my effort in trying to make life work isn't really working. And I got to have you. I need you to come in and step in the gap in both the small things that I'm inconsistent with, Lord, but also the major things. And if that's you, I just want to encourage you to pray with me and to come down here and get prayer. I mean, it's not like some crazy ritual, but I would love to pray for you and meet you and see if we can't get you connected into one of our church's phenomenal ministries where we take the time to love you. Amen? So how about we just pray and there's no band there, huh? We'll just pray and then we'll close it down and we'll have a phenomenal weekend. You know what's funny about Miles is that Miles is in Edmonton, Canada, and it's like